We're going to start there, starting at verse number 17. It says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace of God." Looking there, where he says, "so that I might finish my course with joy." 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read two verses of Scripture there, verses 7 and 8. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also that love his appearing." Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for your presence in this house tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you give to us each and every day, for the grace and the mercy that you bestow upon us, O Lord, and the strength that you give to us, O Lord. Lord, we ask you would speak to our hearts today, O Lord. Anoint our minds and our thoughts today. We give you all praise. We give you all glory in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. In today's modern world, ships and airplanes can navigate using sophisticated instruments to track exact position, speed, and direction all in an instant. They can just look down, they can see their instruments. Doesn't matter where a ship is, out in the ocean, out in the middle, away from land, where they are, they can just take a look at their instruments and they know exactly where they are. Global positioning systems and electronic speed monitoring systems, and airplanes fly through a cloud, and you think, well, how do they know where they're going? By their instruments. They look down, they see that everything's reading right, that everything's correct. It doesn't matter what's happening around them, what's going on, they know where they're going. They set their course, and off they go. And up until quite recent history, this was not always so. Ships' captains had to rely on tools such as a compass and a sextant to determine their location. They utilized a rope dropped over a side with a wooden plank tied to the end, and the rope would have knots tied every 50 feet, and then they would allow that rope to play out, and they counted the speed at how fast the knots went by to determine their speed as they traveled through the ocean. That's why we get that term nowadays, that nautical term of a knot. It came from the old ships' days. When they determined, they wanted to know how fast they were moving. And they used these instruments, and they could take a sextant, and they could take and measure the distance from a certain constellation or star down to the horizon, and they could figure out where they were on the planet based upon these measurements. So in other words, they relied on God. God made the earth and the stars. God made the magnetic pole that points the way for a compass. And God placed the stars and the planets that the sailors would look upon with their sextant. All placed there by God. They relied on the things that God gave them, potentially, possibly through with the use of some simple tools that they developed, but they relied on what God placed out there for them to chart their course. Right. Everything what they did, they just looked to the things that God gave. They wanted to know where they were. They just followed the stars. They followed the patterns of the moon, and they could see all these different things. They knew that the the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west. They could tell their direction through the day based upon these things. And they used these things to stay on course. They would set out with a destination, and I was doing a little bit of reading, and originally the ships that would go out, they would not venture very far from land because they used the land to chart their course. They didn't want to go out too far because they wanted to know where they were going. They wanted to know that they were where they were set out to go to, that was my destination, and that was going to be my goal, and I was going to get there in the end. I found this quote by Christopher Columbus. It says, "By prevailing over all obstacles and distractions, one may unfailingly arrive at his chosen goal or destination." Catch that today. It says, "By prevailing over all obstacles and distractions, one may unfailingly arrive at his chosen goal or destination." I've got a goal in mind. I've got my course set. And I'm going to make it to the end. I'm not going to let anything distract me. I'm not going to let anything deter me. I'm not going to let anything stand in my way, but I'm going to reach my goal. Right. I shared this story, I think it was in one of the adult classes, and some of you may have heard it and some of you may have not, but my uncle, rather fanatical about running marathons. And here, I think it was probably about a month ago, a little more, he ran a 125-kilometer marathon. When my mother told me that, I just about fell over. It took him, I can't remember the exact time now, it was something like 42 hours to run this marathon. And it was in Penticton, I can't remember the name, Manning Park, I believe it was. Most of the course, people couldn't get to. All the checkpoints were out in the wilderness. They had to get there by horses or by motorcycle. And so his wife could not be there at each of these checkpoints. And then he finally got down into civilization and came into one of the checkpoints. And his feet were hurting. And he was wet. And he was cold. And he was miserable. And he says, "I don't want to run any further. I can't go on anymore." And my aunt sat him down, talked to him, gave him some encouragement, a dry pair of shoes and a dry pair of socks, and he set out on his goal. She said, "You came to this race for a reason, because you wanted to finish it. You came because you wanted to prove something to yourself that you could do this. You are not going to quit now. You're not going to turn aside from the thing that you set out to do." And she gave him that encouragement, and it gave him that strength, and it gave him that purpose that said, "I am going to push on to my goal." And it may have taken him 42 hours, but he went across that finish line, finishing that race, doing what he had set out to do, doing what in my mind was something that was insane. I couldn't run probably a 5-kilometer marathon, let alone 125. I'd like to speak to you for just a little while on a message which I have titled, "Stay the Course." Stay the course. You've got a goal in mind. You've got a destination set in your mind. And now it's up to you to say that I'm going to make it to my goal. Right. We've come, the song that we sing says, "Oh, I've come too far to fail you now." We've lived for this amount of time, and I don't know we're just church folk here tonight. Maybe somebody's been thinking about stopping. Maybe somebody's been thinking about, "Oh, I just can't go on." I'm urging you to stay the course. Because one day, if we stay the course, we're going to rejoice with our God in heaven. We're going to make it to our goal. The Bible says if we trust in Him, that we will see Him. If we live for Him and we give our all to Him, we will see Him. Christopher Columbus had a destination in mind. He felt that he could reach the Indies by sailing west. If we just keep going, we're going to make our goal. Just sail west, sail out into the ocean. Most of the sailors of that day did not venture too far away from land because they felt that the earth was flat and that you could sail right off the edge. They thought he was crazy for what he was wanting to do. It was kind of interesting because I began to read some of his early journal entries that he would write when he first sailed out. And they were sailing out and they knew that they weren't too far from land because birds kept coming and landing on their ship. And they knew the approximate distances that birds would fly away from land. So they knew at that point in time that there's still land somewhere around. Till they got to the point where nothing was coming anymore. There wasn't anything there anymore. And I didn't read into this at all, but I could just imagine his crew that's along with him. Where are we going, Columbus? You're taking us out. Nobody's ever gone this far. We're going to die out here. Sound familiar? Moses came and took them out of Egypt, out into the wilderness, out to where they had never been before. Right. We got a goal. We're getting away from where this is, and we're going to the promised land. We're going to get out there, and we're going to march. And it was those people that kept getting distracted, that kept getting thinking about their past and thinking about the things that they had left behind that caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. But they wandered and they wandered and they wandered until finally one day they weren't just wandering in the wilderness anymore. But Moses says, we got a place that we're going. We got a goal that we're going to get to. We got a place that God has promised us if we just follow Him. Every day I'm sure that Columbus had to reassure his crew. I've got a goal. Follow me. Come with me. He didn't have a whole lot of choice because it was a long swim home. But you can imagine in those days the potential for mutiny. All the crew had to do was get together and say, you're out, Columbus. Toss him over the side. Oh, let's sail back home. We're safe. We're free. But there was probably something about what Columbus was telling them. It was something about that man that they believed in him. Right. And they went with him. We're reassuring them, we've got a destination. We're going to get where we're trying to set out to go. We need to keep this course. And every day in some of the passages that I read, we sailed west. Next day, we sailed west. Next day, we sailed west. There was a few entries that, well, we sailed southwest. But they kept their general direction. They kept pushing towards that goal. Winds may blow and storms may come, but when you've weathered those, stay the course. Right. When you've made it through those, you might have to refine your bearings. You might need to change your direction a little bit, but you get back on your course. And you keep pressing forward and you keep pushing forward and you keep going to where your goal was. You are the captain of your ship. But I want to clarify that statement. This does not mean that you don't need God. Amen. This does not mean that you don't need a pastor. This does not mean that you do not need an authority in your life. Right. But am I saying that you are the captain of your ship? I mean that your goal and your destination is up to you. I can want Haley to go to heaven. I can tell her I want her to go to heaven. I can urge her to go to heaven. But it's up to her. Just like you, James, your dad can do everything in his power to try to get you to heaven, but if you don't make heaven your goal, all his efforts and all his trying are going to be for naught. You're the captain of your ship. You can say, I want to make heaven my home. You can say in your mind, I've got a destination, I've got a goal, and I am going to get there. No matter what temptations, no matter what obstacles, no matter what things come in your path, you say, I've got a goal, and I'm going to push on to that goal. I'm going to keep my eyes straight, I'm going to keep my path straight, and I'm going to push forward every day. And some days when you get up, you might want to be like that crew and say, I don't know, that goal's too hard. I don't see that goal right now. I don't know how long it's going to take for me to reach that goal. But that's when you need to give yourself that pep talk. You need to get into the Word of God that tells you that there is a goal at the end.
Right.
And reassure yourself and get in there and say, I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
I may not know when I'm going to get there, but I'll know when I do get there. And I'm going to press on and press on every day. As the captain of your ship, it falls to you and to you alone to stay that course, to maintain your bearings and to keep that goal in sight. The winds will come and the winds will blow and the winds will start to push you off course. And it's important to be in church. It's important to hear the Word of God, because sometimes we start to drift and we start to move aside, and then the Word of God gets into it, speaks to us, and we hear something and it tells us that we need to get back on course again. We need to get back under that line and that straight and that narrow and go where it is that God is leading us to go. What did Jesus say in the second part of Luke 21 and verse 28? He was giving a discourse as to the signs pointing to His return. He says, look up and lift your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. What did the sailors have to do when they began to maybe veer off course? They wanted to figure out, where are we? They had to look up. They had to look at the stars. They had to look at where the sun was. And they had to see what direction they were going. And sometimes I'm sure that when they would go at night and they're in the middle of a storm and the winds are beating and the waves are tossing them to and fro, they probably got up in the morning and looked and, oh, why are we pointing east? We were headed west. We need to start turning this thing around. We need to get back going where we were going.
Yeah.
We need to get back on our course. We might have lost a little bit of time. We might have been a little distracted. We might have veered off and checked out this island over here. But now we're going.
Yeah.
Now we're pushing forward. And we're going to keep pressing towards that mark. Just as the sailors look to the stars to rechart their course, we need to look up. We need to look up to our Savior. We need to look up to Jesus and say, God, where am I going? How did I get where I'm at right now? I need You to help me. I need You to put me back on course. I need You to help guide my steps and guide my mind and guide my thoughts to stay on that course that You've set me upon, that I can finish this race, that I can make it to the end. You ever looked out on a lake? Brother Beer will probably appreciate this one. And the water is like glass. It's calm. It's peaceful. It's beautiful. And that's how each one of us wish that our lives could be. Be sailing out there, just a light breeze blowing, keeping you pushing forward, keeping you moving. But the reality is that sometimes the winds will blow. Sometimes we encounter ripples in our calm, in our peace. And then sometimes it's all you can do to stay in the ship. I was reading about the storms that the sailors used to be in, and talked about how they had to bring the sails down because it would save the mast. They couldn't have all that wind pressure pulling on the mast of the ship, and it could potentially topple the ship over. And they said sometimes the storms were so great that all they could do was tie themselves on and wait it out. And that could either mean life or death. Because if the ship went down, you went with it. There's sometimes when it feels that way in our lives, when we feel like all we can do is tie ourselves on and ride it out. Bible says that sometimes that when all you can do... My mind just went blank. Just stand. Sometimes you can't move forward. Sometimes you might go through a period and time and you think, God, speak to me. God, I need to hear You. God, I need to feel You. God, I need that direction from You, and it's just not there. Then you just got to stand and say, God, I'll wait on You. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings of eagles. They shall run. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. You might have that backwards. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There's times when you just feel like you cannot push on anymore. Just stand. Wait upon God. Say, God, I'm going to wait here as long as it takes. I'm going to wait for you, God. I'm going to tarry here in this place, waiting for you to touch me, waiting for you to speak to me, waiting for you, God, whatever it is, God, that you're going to show me. But I'm just going to stand. I'm not going to wander off to this side. I'm not going to wander off to that side. I'm not going to walk away from you, God. But I'm just going to wait on you. And I'm going to wait for your presence. I'm going to wait for your time. Because it's all in God's time. I know we've all had those periods in time when we think, God, where are you? God, why don't you talk to me? Why don't I feel you like I did before? And I don't know whether it's a time of testing. God saying, how long are you going to wait? Are you going to get bored? Are you going to get weary of waiting? Or are you going to seek me with everything that's within you until you find me? I saw this interesting thing today. I was talking about a guy who went for a job interview. Applied for a job, and there was 1,000 people that applied. And he got shortlisted and shortlisted and shortlisted down to he was the one of four going for this job. Went in for his last interview, and he was told, sorry, we don't think you're right for the position. And that was it. I thought, wow, I made it down to four. But why wasn't I right for the position? What was it about me that didn't qualify me? What was it that kept me from getting the position? So this man drafted up an email and sent it into them and said, can you please, I thank you for your time and I thank you for all the effort that went through in this interview process. I'm just curious if you could share with me what it will take for me to be able to qualify for this job. Because I want to grow and I want to learn and I would like another opportunity down the road. They called that man in, took him upstairs, said, you've got the job. He said, what do you mean I've got the job? I thought you selected somebody else. They said, nope, we shortlisted down to four. We told each one of you that we weren't selecting you, and we waited to see what was going to happen. We wanted the one that was going to put an effort forth to see how much you wanted the job. Does God wait sometimes and pull himself back? Say, James, how much do you want what I've got for you? How much effort are you going to put in to what it is that I have for you? Are you going to give your all, or are you going to give up? If I pull away from you, if you don't feel my touch, if you don't hear my voice, if you don't know, if you aren't walking by faith and know that I'm with you every day and you're relying on those things, maybe I'll just pull away and see how much you're going to trust. Until you get down on your knees and say, God, I need you. God, it's all about you. God, I need to get to the end. I need to get to the goal, but I need you to do it. Well, storms come, and sometimes our life isn't exactly the way we want it to be. But we can trust that if we keep our eyes on Jesus, if we keep our eyes upon that goal, that we're going to get through that storm. We're going to get out the other side, we're going to straighten out our life, and we're going to keep on going and reach that goal. Acts chapter 27. Familiar passage that we find Paul in a situation. Acts chapter 27, starting at verse number 13. It says, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called the Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, and running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. They're in the middle of the storm, thinking all is lost, thinking that they're going to die. And an angel came and visited Paul and told him not to be afraid, that he was with them. Paul went out and exhorted that crew. Probably a lot of men on that ship that night that were believing in a God that they had never served and never known about. They wanted to believe that God that Paul proclaimed to serve was going to keep his hand upon them. Paul knew something that that centurion and the rest of the crew did not know. God had a purpose. God had a direction. God had a goal in mind for Paul. At that point in time, Paul was to go to Caesar. Paul probably would have been let go before. But he said, no, this is where I need to go. This is where God wants me to be. Paul had his eyes on that goal. He was in a mind to stay the course. He later on told them as the wind began to blow again and the storm began to rise up again and they were starting to think about getting off of that ship, he said, the men need to stay on the boat. If we are to be saved, every man has to stay. We all have to be in this ship, and God is going to spare us. And as God's going to spare them. And I'm sorry, I'm just paraphrasing there. Verse number 24 says, Fear not, Paul. This is the angel speaking. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. All that are with you, Paul, are under my protection. All that are here are going to be saved. All that here, nobody's going to have a loss of life. Because I got a plan, Paul. I got a direction for you, Paul. Each one that here is here tonight, God's got a plan. And he's got a purpose for you. And he's got a goal in mind. He's got an end in mind that he wants each and every one of us here to reach. Those streets of gold and gates of pearl, those walls of jasper are yours for the taking. He's gone ahead to prepare a mansion for you that he wants you to inhabit when you get there. He's got a goal in mind. He's got a plan in mind. But we need to keep our eyes and our destination. We need to stay that course. Saying nothing's going to distract me, nothing's going to draw me away, nothing's going to keep me from reaching that goal. If there's somebody here tonight that's thinking about abandoning the ship, maybe you think the storms are just too much or the winds of this world have been blowing you off course, I just urge you to stay the course. Ephesians 4 and 14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. As the world around us changes and flows contrary to the word of God, those currents churn and pull you and seeking to pull you to your ultimate death, throwing temptations your way and things in your path, obstacles and distractions that are designed to draw you off course. Designed to pull you out into a place where you didn't belong and you don't deserve to be. I think about that man out of Bellacoola just recently that passed away when his boat went down. They say that he was hanging on to a floating lawn chair and then drifted out. Currents pulling. The others were able to swim to shore. The others were able to find their safety. But that man, being pulled by the currents, lost his life. There's currents in this world that want to distract you. There's currents in this world that are trying to pull you away from what God has for you. Things that seem easy, things that seem pleasurable, things that seem like you might want to do and you might want to partake of. But God puts up warning signs and God puts up barriers and God puts up things in your path to keep you safe, to keep you from that harm. When you keep your mind on Him and you keep your eyes on Him and you keep that as part of your goal, saying, I want to make it to the end. Just a little while ago, there was a man in the Fraser River, down by Hope. A bunch of them in a little park there. I want to go for a swim. Jumps into the water. Suddenly his friends are chasing him down the beach, watching him as he's drifting out, as the currents are pulling him away. Just a quick little swim, that's all I want to do. And fortunately for him, there was some men in the water and boats that saved his life. Oh, I'm just going to dabble in this for a little while. I'm just going to touch a little bit of this over here. I'm okay. Are you? Are you okay? A little dabble, a little touch. Suddenly you think, how did I get here? I was supposed to be over there. My course, I'm not on my course anymore. I'm not going towards my goal anymore. I need to get back on course. I need to stay that course. I need to get back where God wants me to be. Hang on to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him. Do not allow the enticing words of men to deceive you from what the Word of God tells you. Don't allow what seems like the prosperity of the wicked to cause your steps to falter. As Asaph said in Psalm 73 and 2, it says, as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. We look at the world around us and we think, oh, look at them, they're getting away with that. Well, look at what all they have, and look at what they're always doing, and look at how much fun they look like they're having. For those of us that lived in the world, even now I haven't for a while gone to our staff Christmas parties and those different events, and I watch them. When I would go to those, and I see them, and they're drinking, and they're doing these things, and my wife and I look at each other and go, you know what, tomorrow morning, we're not going to be hungover. Tomorrow morning, we're not going to be sick. Tomorrow morning, we're going to remember everything that we did tonight. Tomorrow morning, we're not going to wake up with any regrets like we did in the world. Like we did what some envy. And some look at and think, oh, they're having so much fun. In the moment, maybe they are. But there's a price to be paid. Asaph said, I was walking that path. I'm following my course. But man, when I looked at them, I almost slipped. I saw what they had, and they were okay. They're getting away with it. But down in verse number 17, Asaph adds, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. When I started to learn that God's a gentleman, God's not going to drag you to church, God's not going to force you to live for Him, God's not going to keep you from doing things if you really want to do it. But there's an end. And there's an outcome. And there's a destination that wasn't one that you wanted to make your own. The best way to stay the course is to keep your eyes upon Jesus. And keep your eyes upon that goal. And when the days get hard and the road seems like it's just too much to go, you come into a church service and you hear the word of God that picks you up and encourages you, just like my aunt did for my uncle when he got down to that checkpoint and he says, I cannot go on anymore. I'm cold and I'm wet and I'm tired. My legs ache and my feet hurt and it's just too much to go on any further. And then you come into a church service and you hear the word of God and it gives you that pickup of encouragement and you hear about what God is going to do in your life and you hear about that destination and that goal. And it's just like my aunt being there saying, you can make it to the end. You had your eye upon that goal. You had your eye upon that prize. It's just a little bit further. Just got to push on a little bit more. Just keep on going on that course that you would set your feet upon.
Right.
And you'll make it to that goal. In our opening scriptures, Paul talked about finishing his course. Fought a good fight. I kept my course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. But not just for me. But to all those also that love his appearing. He fought a good fight. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He talks about all the things. You know, there's times when we're living for God and we think, wow, I'm in a storm-tossed life. Things are not going right. Man, I don't know where to turn. If you ever get to that point, read this. 2 Corinthians 11, starting at verse number 23. It says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In laborers, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Oh, life's rough. I don't know where to turn. Oh, poor me. I don't have $10 in my bank account right now. Oh, but I do have groceries in the cupboard. That'll get me through. I feel a little sick. I should probably give up on God. He hasn't healed me yet. Then you read about Paul. He fought a good fight. He kept his course. How many of us would have gone through half of what he went through and would have said, whoa, I didn't sign up for this. Pastor's message last Wednesday. Revival is not convenient. Got outreach this Saturday, Pastor. It's my one day off. Tyrant. You're not getting beaten. You're not being shipwrecked. You're not being starved for your faith. You're not being accused of things for your faith. We'd have it so easy. Paul just kept looking up. I got a destination. I got a purpose. I got a plan. I got a goal. I'm going to get there. I'm going to stay on this course no matter what's trying to drag me off course. I don't care if you beat me. I don't care if you whip me. I don't care if you accuse me of whatever. If you don't care if you throw me in prison. I don't care what happens to me on this earth. My life is God's. And whatever happens in this life is for God's plan and for God's glory when I give it to Him. He encountered so many storms. He encountered so much stuff. But he endured, and he didn't waver, and he didn't falter. Was he tempted? I'm sure he was. Was he tried? I'm sure he was. In Romans 7, he says, the things which I would do, I do not. Those things which I would do or would not do, those things I do. I'm sure that there's days when he stumbled and fell, and I'm sure that there's days when he found himself going the wrong direction, and he had to correct himself and say, no, I'm going this way. I'm going to keep my eyes on God. I'm going to keep pressing forward. I'm going to keep moving in that direction that God wanted me to go. Satan will do whatever he can to get you off course. He'll throw things in your way. He'll put obstacles in your way. He'll put temptations in your way. He'll throw things at you that you didn't think that you could endure. But you can when you look up and you keep your eyes upon God. There's sometimes when we feel like we need to be Superman and we need to know that we can fight that battle. We need to know that whatever comes my way, I've got it. We're not supposed to have it. I'm sure that each and every, and to God be the praise and the glory. I had a conversation with somebody here a while back about the fact that my faith, I'm probably going to, cover me, God. My faith has never really been tried. And when I say that, I mean there's nothing has happened in my life that's going to stop me and that would cause me to stop and say, God, where were you in all of this? And when you've got to stand upon your faith and say, even though I'm going through what I'm going through, I'm going to serve you, God. I'm going to stay that course. I'm going to push forward. And I thank God that it's so far in my life that nothing has happened that has caused me to have to really sit back and think and have to reside and just rest upon my faith knowing that God has a plan. But one day it's going to happen. I'm not foolish enough to think that, oh, my life is doing pretty good, that nothing's ever going to come my way that's going to cause me to falter. But now is when I need to start planning. Now is when I need to start building that faith. Now is when I need to get into the Word of God. And so that when that day comes, I'm not searching for something to say, God, I need you today and I need to be lifted up. I need to have this in my heart so that I can say, God, I know you're with me. Whatever I go through, God, I need to plan now for those events to come. I need to plan now for those things to happen so that it doesn't catch me unaware. So it doesn't catch me off guard. So it doesn't allow Satan to get his foothold into my life and drag me off course. I need to plan now saying, I know how I'm going to get to the end. I know that I can trust in my God. I know that I can trust in His Word. I know I can trust that when the things start happening in the end times and we really start to get tried and we really start to get persecuted and we wonder and we can't go to the grocery store and buy groceries and we can't go to the gas station and put gas in our vehicles and we try to go to the bank to take out some money and they say, oh, you don't exist. What am I going to do then? I'm going to have to take that mark so I can buy it. No. God, I got a goal in mind. I got a destination in mind and I know you're going to get me there. I know that you're going to be with me every step of the way. I know that you're going to be right there beside me, carrying me if necessary to get me to my goal, to get me to that destination. And that I know, God, that you're there with me. I'm in the thought of pastor. I do use my iPad for looking up scriptures at times, or my phone to look up scriptures at times. But I do believe that we need the written Word of God. I do believe that we need to know where to find scriptures in the Word of God. That when somebody says, well, where is that? I don't know. I think it's in there somewhere. I read it once. that I can go. I'll be the first one to admit there's a lot of scriptures that I have that rattle around in my mind, and I might be able to sometimes call a scripture to memory, and I think, I don't know where that is. But I can usually find it fairly fast, even without my phone or my iPad, because I know generally where it is in the Bible. But when you don't look in your Bible, and when you rely on this stuff, and all you're doing is typing it in all the time, that doesn't put it in here. And one day when they take these away from us, it better be in here. Because we're going to need that. And we're going to need to rely on that. I believe it was David that said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might reach that goal, that I can stay that course. That nothing's going to distract me, and nothing's going to pull me away, and nothing's going to cause me to waver from that goal, from that destination that I've set my eyes upon." Now, Sister Z comes tonight. There was a time when the disciples were in a boat, and the winds began to blow, and the waves began to rise up, and they began to look around, and they looked outside of the boat, and what is that that we see on the water? Is that an angel? That looks like Jesus. Peter steps out in faith, says, "Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come." He said, "Come." He had his eyes on Jesus. "Jesus, if that's you, I want to come to where you're at." And he gets out of the boat. And he starts walking. Until he realized that there was a storm. And the storm was rising up around him, and the waves were tossing. And how did I get out of the boat? How am I walking on the water? How did I get where I'm at? And he's not looking at Jesus anymore. And he begins to sink, and he begins to flounder, and Jesus had to walk up and take him by the hand and get him back into the boat. You keep your eyes on him. It doesn't matter what the waves are doing. It doesn't matter about the storm blowing around you. It doesn't matter about any of that. John chapter 3. It says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whether it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." We need the wind. We need that wind. That wind that blows brings that Holy Ghost. That wind that blows that keeps you on course. That wind that... A ship out in the middle of the ocean with no wind is going nowhere. You still need the wind to blow to that destination, to blow to where you're trying to get to. As we stand together tonight, just like Pastor said the other day, sometimes a message is for right now. I need that. And sometimes you take a message and you put it in your back pocket, because down the road you recall when you're in the middle of the storm and things aren't going right. Maybe things are going right. Maybe this isn't on the mark tonight. Maybe nobody is feeling like they're off course. Maybe nobody's feeling like turning away. Maybe one day down the road, a storm's going to come up and start blowing you around, and you're going to wonder where to turn, and that message, that thought's going to come on. Stay the course. Jesus, I need you, God. I need to keep my eyes upon you. I need to keep going where you want me to go, God. I'm not going to turn aside. I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to walk away from you, God, but I'm going to stay that course. Let's just pray tonight. Say, God, help us to stay that course. God, help us to keep our eyes upon you, O Lord, to keep our focus on you, Jesus. That no matter what comes our way, O Lord, no matter what storms blow into our life, no matter what winds.